Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates and begins the great season of Advent. And it's a season in which we wait. We wait and prepare ourselves for the great celebration of Jesus Christ's birth into this world. In the first reading, it's quite appropriate, we find another people that are waiting. From the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, we have to understand the context in which this book is set in. The Israelites have been taken captive. They've been conquered by the Babylonians. And now they're living in exile as slaves to the Babylonians. Essentially, the Davidic dynasty has ended. It's like a stump. And yet now Jeremiah approaches the Israelites when all seems hopeless and gives them this powerful message. Listen now. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. Essentially, what Jeremiah is telling the Israelites is from that stump, a shoot will grow through the power of God. That shoot is going to be another tree that symbolizes a new Davidic dynasty that will take place. That dynasty will be led by Jesus Christ. He will be the king of that dynasty. And so this is a great message of hope for the Israelites when all seemed hopeless. With this new dynasty that Jesus Christ will usher in, now God will reconcile himself with the Israelites. The Israelites will be set free from their slavery, and they will receive the Messiah that they long hoped for. All these promises will be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And what does Jeremiah tell the Israelites? What must they do? Wait. They must patiently wait for Jesus Christ to come. Now, throughout the entire Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, we hear stories of people waiting. Look at Abraham. Abraham establishes a covenant with God. God promises Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And yet, that promise does not come to fruition right away. Abraham and Sarah wait and wait. For many, many years, they wait to have a child. Now, during this time of waiting, self-doubt has crept in. Abraham may have been even the victim of scorn and ridicule by family or friends. But they wait, and after many, many years, finally, Sarah, Abraham's wife, gives birth to Isaac, and now the promise is fulfilled. How about Joseph? Joseph, at a very early age, receives this dream from God in which all of his older brothers are bowing down in homage to him. And yet that dream does not come true right away. We all know the story of Joseph. He's sold into slavery by his very own brothers. He's a slave now in Egypt. Several years later, he's accused of a crime he did not commit and is thrown into an Egyptian prison. He spends 7 years in that terrible Egyptian prison, waiting. Finally, the promise comes true. Joseph rises quite quickly up into the Egyptian government and becomes a very powerful figure. And as a result, his brothers bow down before him one day in honor of his title. And so this season of Advent is a time in which our church asks us now to wait. And yet, we are a people that do not like to wait. We are a society that does not like to wait for anything. We hate waiting in traffic. We hate it when we have to go to the doctor's office, and we arrive on time for our appointment, and yet the doctor enters into the examining room about 20 to 30 minutes late. We hate that. Furthermore, we are a people or a society that is constantly on the go. For example, you can drive to any given window and receive food, your prescription being filled, your laundry, you can get your banking done. We are a people that is constantly on the go. We pride ourselves on that. And yet now God asks us to wait. And I think that's good. There are times in which we must slow down and wait for God. Better yet, I think there's a spiritual component to waiting. Now, one of the first things that we have to understand is that there is a great difference in time reference. Our timetable is greatly different from God's timetable. Because God governs the whole universe, God stands outside of time and space. Time and space does not affect God, nor is God subject to it. Therefore, our days, weeks, and years are like an instant or a blink of an eye for God. That's why the great psalmist says, "Lord, 1,000 years are like a day for you." Consequently, our frame of reference when it comes to time is greatly different from God's reference of time. Saint Benedict once said, "If we're on the wrong path, the worst thing that we could do is go fast down that path." This is a great point. It's great. If we're on the right path and we're going fast, then we'll reach our destination quite quickly. But if we're on the wrong path, moving quickly, we're moving more quickly into the wrong direction. It's kind of like that old joke with a pilot. Halfway through the flight, the pilot gets on the overhead and he says to the people in the plane, "Got some good news for you and some bad news. The bad news is I'm completely lost and I have no idea where we are. The good news is we're making great time." Well, it just doesn't make any sense. That's why God makes us wait sometimes to help us recognize that maybe we're not traveling on the right path. Maybe we need to slow down, even stop, reassess our life, so that if we're on the wrong path, now to get on the right path, the path that God intends us to walk, the path that leads to Him. Now, during this season of Advent, the season of waiting, it conjures up the question, why does God allow us to wait? Better yet, why does God allow us to wait in answer to our prayers? St. Augustine responded to this question by saying, "Sometimes God makes us wait because our hearts aren't prepared to receive all the good, all the grace that God intends to give us through that answered prayer." Now, when we pray, we may pray for weeks, months, or years for that same prayer. And yet during that time, as we are waiting, God is essentially working on our heart. He's stretching it. He's pulling it so that at a given point, our heart has now expanded efficiently or effectively enough in order to now completely receive all the goodness and all the grace that God intends to give us through that answered prayer. St. Augustine continues on and he says, "If we got everything that we wanted from God, if God immediately answered all of our prayers right away, then after a while, we would take those answered prayers for granted. Therefore, it's important for us to wait," says St. Augustine. "So that what? So that God can take our hearts and expand them sufficiently enough so that now we're able to take in all the goodness that God intends to give us through those answered prayers." Now, take that a step further. I think that God, in some cases, is ready and willing to answer our prayers, to give us the gifts that we ask of Him. And yet, I think he looks upon us and he sees we are not ready or prepared to receive those gifts. Let me give you a good example of what I mean here. Go back to the story of Joseph. Joseph, when we read his story, as a youth, he was a self-absorbed and a very arrogant child. If that dream that he had came true at the time of his youth, chances are he would have misused or abused the gifts that God had given him because he was not ready at that point in his life to receive those gifts from God. And so it was necessary for him to wait. And it was a period of waiting. It was a period in which Joseph was disciplined and even experienced suffering. And yet during all that time, his heart was expanding effectively enough until a point in time in which now he could receive all of the graces and goodness of his answered prayers and the fulfillment of his dream. And see, when that happened, then Joseph could take the great gift that God has given him and use it properly, the way that God intended him to use that gift. And see, I think that's really the heart of this Advent season. It's a season of waiting. Better yet, it's a season or a period in which we must surrender ourselves to God. Allow God to take our hearts, pull them, push them, shape them, so that now our hearts are prepared, have expanded sufficiently enough so that we can take in and receive all the goodness, all the graces, and all the gifts that God has given us, especially the greatest gift that God could ever give this world, the gift of His Son. I'll leave you with just one suggestion for this Advent season. During this season of waiting, I strongly encourage you, spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament. Go to church, and if you don't have Eucharistic adoration, just spend time in front of the tabernacle. Whether you are sitting or kneeling, you are now slowing down in your life. You are now with Jesus Christ, surrendering your heart and yourself to Him, so that you can now be on the right path, the path that always leads to Him, so that you are now waiting, preparing yourself for the great event of Christmas. Better yet, as you sit before the Blessed Sacrament, you are keeping vigil. You are keeping watch, just like those shepherds in the fields that the angels appeared to, announcing the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.